After a great deal of back and forth, the sufferer accepts this philosophy. He vows to continue being pious and to pray for some relief from his current condition. These poems illustrate the universal difficulties of life and questioning of why the good and the faithful must suffer. The answer usually involves accepting that it is impossible to know the will of the gods and some invocation or prayer for hope for future change. Other genres of literature, humorous stories, jokes, love poems, and magic spells, take a lighter view of life. Scribes often write about their lives, and these are preserved in the tablets of scribal schools most often. One young student is explaining how he behaves as a student, and he says to a current student he's teaching, he writes, "Like you, I was once a youth and had a mentor. The teacher assigned a task to me. It was man's work. Like a springing reed, I leapt up and put myself to work. I did not depart from my teacher's instructions, and I did not start doing things on my own initiative. I did whatever he outlined for me. Everything was always in its place. Only a fool would have deviated from his instructions." Clearly, this is an idealized version of what students actually undertook. We know from the many mistakes and even comments about teachers that survive on tablets from scribal schools that not every student was quite as attentive. Another common genre of literature is a debate between either improbable creatures or concepts. In this dialogue between summer and winter, the two seasons, who are of course personified as all nature was, argued over whose work was harder. Winter was feeling especially put upon, and he says that he was overcome by anger, and he started a quarrel with summer. "Summer, my brother, you should not praise yourself. You should not brag. As if you were the one who had done the hard work, as if you had done the farming, as if you had taken care of irrigation control during the spring floods, as if you had brought forth the grain in the arable tracts with the dew from heaven. How much through my toil is it that you enter the palace?" So clearly winter is feeling a little unappreciated. And summer taunts winter by claiming that he's not only the better season because he produces the harvest, but he's the more popular season because people stay out later. They want his arrival. And during winter, they huddle in their houses and they sleep all of the time. Winter gets increasingly angry, and finally Enlil intervenes to settle the dispute, and they enjoy a banquet. The poem concludes, "Enlil answered summer and winter, saying, 'Winter is the controller of the life-giving waters of all the lands. The farmer of the gods produces everything. Summer, my son, how can you compare yourself to brother Winter?' Summer bowed to Winter and offered him a prayer. In his house he prepared emmer beer and wine." And you can imagine that with the focus on agriculture in Mesopotamia, that this would be a dialogue that farmers might engage in, saying which season was the most profitable for them, could they produce their harvest without all of the seasons. So these dialogues give some insight into sort of matters of debate, philosophical debate in Mesopotamia. Humor is one of the most difficult cultural concepts to recover, but in Mesopotamia, we get examples of social satire as well as more obvious jokes. And the obvious jokes are focused on bodily humor, flatulence, these sort of universal concepts that make teenagers giggle. The interaction between different economic classes was fodder for many stories, such as the visit of a wealthy man to his cleaners. The man gives detailed instructions describing the steps involved in washing his clothes.